I normally would show this next video at the end after I train, but I just feel, you have to understand, everything I do, the Holy Spirit gave me. Everything that I'm going to present to you today. Now, what began to happen with me, people ask me, well, how did you discover all this? Well, what would happen is I would, after praying for the first couple of people, I'd go to other conferences with Randy, and Randy would, during testimony, excuse me, I would get up, Randy would say, Mike, get up here and give us the testimony of somebody who's been healed of PTSD. So I'd get up and give the testimony, and this is what my friend Randy Clark would do to me. He would say, okay, everybody who's got PTSD, come down and let Mike pray for you. So I'd end up with lines of 20 to 50 people. And I learned, because I had the paradigm in my mind that for people to get free of their trauma, it would take them years of counseling, hours of counseling. It would just take a lot of time. And what I was discovering, that no matter how horrific the trauma was, that with the power of the Holy Spirit, they would get healed. However, the Holy Spirit would tell me to do things. And I'm like, wow, that's really weird, Lord. And so, we have those kind of conversations. So then what I would do is I would go to secular trauma experts or to neuroscience experts like Dr. Carolyn Leaf. And I would discover the mind-body connection. I would discover how the body and the mind reacts to trauma, what a trauma response is. And this is the number one discovery I had. Wow, the Holy Spirit is brilliant. He really knows what he's doing. Yeah, thank God, right? So as long as I followed him, I was in good shape. So I began to discover all of this and understand just how prevalent not only is trauma in the way that we respond to life, but the provision of God to bring healing to trauma. So the trauma model that I'm going to present to you today has 8 steps to it. I'm going to say it again. It is not the medicine. The trauma prayer model is not the medicine. It is simply the delivery system by which you can bring healing to people and know how to pray for people. There are some elements in the prayer model that are very important that probably need to be followed, but it doesn't mean that you have to pray all 8 steps every time you minister to somebody. Understand that this was developed not in a counselor's office where you had an hour or 2 hours with somebody. It was developed literally in conferences like this where you had 5 to 10 minutes to pray for somebody, and that was it. So you'll say, you know, it's a very quick model. Let me say one other thing so that we're very clear about this. This doesn't take care of every person's issues. What this does, I see this prayer model as a breakthrough prayer model to break through the wall of trauma so that people can begin to feel normal again. And then whatever other emotional healing issues that they need can be addressed. But for too many times, trauma ends up being a wall by which nothing gets dealt with because you keep hitting the trauma wall. And one of the ministries that I partner with, Restoring the Foundations Ministry. Is anybody familiar with Restoring the Foundations? So they had me come a number of years ago and train all of their counselors and all of their folks that do this in the prayer model so that they have a very specific process that they go through. It's like a week-long process. But many times they can't get started in that process until they deal with the trauma first. So they've taken this on as well as lots of other emotional healing ministries. But back to my point, I want to show you this video. This is a guy, I was with Randy at a Global Awakening conference. This is video number 8 back there. We were doing a conference with Andrew Womack. Anybody know who Andrew Womack is? So we were there with Andrew Womack in his facility, and this man had gotten a hold of my book a few weeks ahead of time. And I was going to be teaching at the conference, But this is literally the first night of the conference, and I hadn't had an opportunity to preach. Well, this guy came to me, and I mean, he was a man with a purpose. And he came to me and said, I want you to pray for me right now. And I'm like, well, you haven't heard what I'm teaching. He says, no, I read your book, and I want you to pray for me right now. And he went about three or four times. And what you'll find out about me is I don't respond really well to people that try to grab me and do that, you know. But this guy had a desperation about him. And the Spirit of God said, go ahead and do it, because I'm always waiting for the Holy Spirit to show me how to minister to each person. So anyway, this man came, and he's going to share his testimony of how he got his post-traumatic stress disorder, how it affected him personally, and how the Lord brought healing to him. So let's show video number 8.
My healing is not something you can see physically, but I have been diagnosed with PTSD, and I've had it for 5 years and 3 months, and I almost lost my son when he was 1.5 years old. And those traumatic images stuck with me. And every time he had a sneeze or a cough, I would check his forehead. My sleep became shallow. I didn't sleep good for 5 years. I was hypersensitive. I hated who I have become. I did not love myself. And I came to this conference this week. Now, the healing happened Wednesday, but I'm still living the healing now. I got a revelation that God loved me even when I hated myself, and that he was faithful to me when I wasn't faithful to him. Well, I went to Mike Hutchings because I went to a bookstore. I didn't know him a month and a half ago. I said, do you have any books on PTSD? I said, we only have one. I said, I'll take it. I don't care who it's by. And I read it, and I was depressed that day. And it changed me that day. I said, I got to keep reading. 2 weeks later, I heard he was coming here. And I said, this is not a coincidence. God set me up.
Amen.
I fought this for 5 years and 3 months. In that time, I laughed like 4 times. I haven't laughed more than 4 times for 5 years. And not only that, I went up to Mike Hutchings and I said, hey, I want you to be my point of contact. I went to his website. I listened to his blog. I listened to the testimonies of the vets that got healed because I thought PTSD was incurable. I thought this was a new me. I thought I was scarred, I was mad, I was angry, and I was going to have to deal with it. I saw the testimonies, then I saw his teachings, so I got my expectations up. And I said, Wednesday tonight, I told my wife, I tried Christian counseling, I couldn't sleep for 5 years, Wednesday's going to be my night. My coach is going to be there, I know God's going to go through him, and I'm going to cross the finish line, I'm going to be done, 100% done. And I came up here, and he laid his hand on the right side of my head, and I felt heat going through the right side of my brain. Now, I'm not a psychologist, and I don't know where the memories are stored, but I'm pretty sure maybe that was it. But I saw heat because those memories just got burned up. And now he came, and I felt the heat going through my ears and to the back of my head. And I fell down on the floor, and I stayed there. It was like I had a warm pillow, and I just left. I was laying on it, and I said, Holy Spirit, I don't want to leave. They got to close, but I don't want to leave. And he told me so gently, because my emotions, when you have PTSD, they yell at you so loudly. And you forget how small, but still voices. And he told me, you're taking me with you. I never leave you nor forsake you. And I went home, and I slept, because when you have PTSD, you sleep, but you don't sleep. Like I said, any slightest noise, I would get up in a panic, my heart racing. So I would be sleep deprived. I would be so tired, I'd go to bed like at 7 or 8. And I thought it was just old age. I'm only 37. I would kid around like that. But it was serious. And the last three nights, I have slept so soundly and so deep. So I am still feeling the healing today. I'm not 80%. I'm 100%. I can laugh. I can sleep. I can laugh. I can sleep.
Okay, you can shut it down. I think he got it, don't you? So he had such problems with the PTSD that all of his neighbors were really concerned. He lives in a cul-de-sac in Colorado, and he was they were concerned about him because he had a lot of suicidal. His son, by the way, got healed. He was fine, but he still had lots of PTSD, and he was listening to the suicidal spirit. So after he got home from this conference, he went and literally knocked on the door of every neighbor house and said, "You don't have to worry about me anymore. I'm free. Do you have any trauma you need to be prayed for? Because now I know how to pray for trauma. I'm healed, you know." So he's actually ministering in this church to people who have trauma, which I love. Isn't that awesome? All right, so you have your handout. Who has their handout? Let me see your handouts. Who's got your handout? Okay. Does anybody need a handout? Okay, who needs a handout? Wait, raise your hand if you need a handout, please. And this is the healing trauma. Yep, that one right there. That's it. Yep. Give me one, too. Yeah, front and back. Yep. If you need a handout, raise your hand, because I want you to have a copy of this. This handout is the same, is on the laminated prayer card, the black and red and white card that's back there, too. And you don't have to buy a laminated prayer card, but it's handy to keep in your Bible with you so you can minister to folks. So anyway, it's an 8-step prayer model. Once again, you don't have to follow them all, but it gives you an understanding of what it takes to bring healing and restoration to people with trauma. So the first thing you're going to do, next slide, please. And I think we're just going to stay right here at this outline right here. I'm not going to ask you to advance forward during this time because everybody has their hand out. So the first thing is then we're going to interview the person. What experience or action resulted in their trauma? Now, one of the issues with people who carry lots of trauma is that they have a tendency that they've developed their own trauma narrative about their life. So that when you ask them about who they are, if they have developed a victim mindset, they will tell you about all the trauma that's in their lives. And they will give very specific details. And they have a tendency, particularly if they're part of a church, they'll tell their trauma story over and over and over again. The problem with that is the more that they tell their trauma story, I believe it's clinically appropriate to have somebody process the trauma that they've been through. That is to talk through their trauma at one time. But if they keep talking through it over and over again, what it does, it has a tendency to concrete in their minds what their identity is, that the most significant thing that's happened to them is all of their trauma. So in this case, when I interview them, I don't need to know everything about their trauma. I need to know what's the most significant thing, the most significant trauma in your life. So if it's unhealed childhood trauma, all I need to know is, were you physically, sexually, or emotionally abused as a child? I don't need to hear every detail about how you were abused necessarily. If it's military trauma, I just need to know, did you experience trauma being deployed, or did you experience trauma while being in the military? Let me say this to you. There can be men and women who have been military, and they were traumatized just in their service in the military, not even being deployed. One of the saddest things that I've encountered, and I'm just supposed to say this, thank you, Lord, is women who have faithfully served our country who experience sexual assault and sexual violation within their own ranks of the military. So I just need to know that. If they have other kinds of trauma, domestic trauma, or they've been in, one woman came up here and been in a number of car accidents. I don't need to know every car accident. I just need to know you've had a number of car accidents and you need healing from that. People ask me all the time when I'm training this, well, when they're kind of going on their trauma story, and I know what their trauma is, but they keep telling me all the details, what do I do? How do I stop it? And I say, when they breathe. When they breathe, because everybody has to take a breath at some point, and when they breathe, you can smile at them and say, thank you, that's all I need to know. I'm ready to pray for you. And there'll be some times that they're saying, no, let me tell you everything. Well, you know, I can tell you, when you've got 20, 25 people waiting in line for you to receive prayer, there's not time to hear every trauma story. If you're in a counselor's office, it is appropriate to let them process. But ultimately, the most important part is not that they can get the whole story out, but that you simply know what the trauma is. Now, if they're a military veteran or an active duty soldier, it is appropriate at this moment to thank them for their service. And what I say on a typical basis is say, sir or ma'am, I want to thank you for your service. Thank you for laying down your life for our country so we can be free. Your service has not been in vain because we are still free. And if they're a Vietnam veteran, I like to say to them as well, welcome home, sir. Thank you for serving us, because many of the Vietnam veterans never were honored for their service. Instead, they were shamed. So could we real quick, just for a moment, if you're a military veteran or active duty soldier, would you stand up all across the room right now? No matter what branch of service, would you just stand up right now? Guys, can we just give thanks to God for all these amazing men and women laying down their lives for our freedom? Thank you so much, brothers, sisters. Thank you for laying down your life for us so that we can be free. And let me say this to you. Your service has not been in vain. The sacrifice you made has not been in vain, because we are still free as a country. So thank you for your service to us. The second step is I'm going to ask them permission if I can pray for them. Why is this important? Because many people who carry trauma have had things happen to them that other people have done to them that nobody ever asked permission. So just because they come and start talking to me about trauma doesn't mean necessarily that they may want prayer. So I'm going to say, will you give me permission to pray for you? Now, the other thing that I'm doing, by asking their permission, I'm recognizing to them that they have more power and authority over their lives than I do. Do you understand that in the body of Christ, we're moving into a day that it's no longer going to be God's man or woman of power for the hour, but that the ministry is going to the whole body of Christ? And so therefore, if I'm going to pray for you, I want to pull on the power and authority that you have in your own life and have you agree with me to be healed. It is a co-laboring together, not just my touching says the anointing, so come to him. That's not what this is about at all, folks. This is about co-laboring together and us just seeing, allowing the Holy Spirit to bring healing and restoration to you. So I'm going to explain and I'm going to receive permission. Now, this is a very important point. While I'm praying for you, I want you to keep your eyes open the whole time I'm praying for you. And I'm going to keep my eyes open so that there's a contact between you and me during nearly the entire time that we're praying. Why is this important? As a matter of fact, I had a lot of discussions with the Holy Spirit about this particular point. And this is what he said to me. Number one, because you're praying with somebody with trauma, they need to know the power of the Father's love to them. And because you carry the Father's love in your own soul, they will feel the power of love coming from you. That's the first thing. The second thing is, many times, you can begin to see the manifestation of demonic influence through people's eyes. That is, their eyes, their pupils can move back and forth. The whites of their eyes change color. And when that happens, I'm really excited. I'm really happy because they've been found out. And so their influence is going to be canceled pretty quickly from them in Jesus' name. Finally, the third reason is there are many people who have had severe trauma in childhood. They do something called dissociation. And to dissociate means that when they deal with something very intense, their minds kind of go to another place where they found safety. And this has been developed because the child who was being traumatized to get away from what was happening to them actually created a place to dissociate. And basically, to dissociate means that you go to just to another place in your mind. By the way, did you know that you dissociate on a daily basis? Do you know that? Let me explain this to you. If you've ever driven back and forth to the same place every day to go to work, How many of you have ever started your car and you're getting ready to go to that place, and the next thing you know, you're at that place? Well, you just dissociated because you're so used to driving back and forth to there, you didn't have to think through how to get there. So dissociation is not a bad thing, except when it keeps you from receiving what God has for you. So the reason why we keep eye contact is so they can feel the love of God, so we can see if there's any demons that are trying to manifest themselves. And finally, if they do dissociate, that is their eyes glaze over, I try to call them back, try to get them back to the present so that they can experience the love of Jesus Christ. Step three is I'm going to pray and declare the forgiveness of God to them by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. If they are a believer in Jesus, I'm going to look you in the eye, and I'm going to say to you, do you know that you are completely forgiven by God for all of your sin, iniquity, and transgression? There is nothing that Father God holds against you, and there is nothing between you and Father God. There is a false doctrine in the church that somehow God's presence comes and goes from us, and yet that is completely in contradiction to what Jesus said, that when we welcome Christ's presence into our lives, he brings the Father, and it says they will never leave us or abandon us. They're always with us. But when we mess up or when we sin, we think, oh, God's presence, I don't feel God's presence. Well, guys, how many of you know your feelings lie to you? Anybody know that? So you may not feel the presence of the Lord, but how many of you know that God is greater than your feelings and that he's made a covenant with you that he will never leave you nor forsake you? So it's important, first of all, that you know just how forgiven you really are. Say this with me. Because of Jesus, I have welcomed his work on the cross in my life. Therefore, I am completely forgiven. He holds nothing against me. And I am free. Some of you need to hear that really clear, because the enemy has been trying to bring a little shame and guilt towards you, and you're going to get free of that today in Jesus' name. So why is this important that you know that you're forgiven? Because the next step is going to be really important for you getting free of your trauma, and that is forgiving all the people that have hurt you. Now, why is that important? Well, remember when we talked about in Isaiah 61 that Jesus came to set the captives free? Think of captives as being in chains and shackles to the trauma of their past. When you walk in unforgiveness and bitterness towards the people that have hurt you, as one speaker says, it's like we're drinking poison hoping to kill the other person. But the reality is that as long as you hold on to that unforgiveness towards the people who've hurt you, you are still chained to their trauma. You're still connected to the trauma that they did to you. So the best way to get free of it is to forgive them and release them. And so what we do, as you'll see in the prayer model here, is we just have them close their eyes for a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to show them any person that may have wounded them or hurt them in any way. And as that's revealed to them, they don't have to say it out loud, but they can just say it in their mind, Father, I forgive them, you forgive them, I release them. And as you do that with each person, the Lord's going to bring freedom to you. There's going to be a healing, and there's going to be a disconnection from you and the person that hurt you in the first place. In Jesus' name. Now, my friends, it's very critically important. This is one of the most important steps in the entire prayer model. Because if you don't forgive them, there's no way that you can get released from the trauma that they did to you. Now, the question that comes up many times is, can I pray this prayer with people that aren't saved? With people that don't know Jesus? And I will say, no, it's not possible. Because in order to receive the benefits of getting free from trauma, they first got to have faith in the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross. they've got to know the power of the blood of Jesus Christ for forgiveness. But some of you know, if you've not come to Jesus, you don't know what it's like to be fully forgiven. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? So many times, this will be an opportunity, if I'm praying for somebody, and I'll ask them a question. Have you received the full work of Jesus Christ on the cross for your sins? And if they say no, I'll say, well, then can I lead you in that? So it makes for an amazing time to bring somebody into the kingdom of God, and then they get not only saved, but they get healed and delivered from their trauma at the same time. Now, if they say, no, I'm not going to receive Jesus, then there's not a whole lot I can do for them except bless them and pray that they would come to a place that they would welcome Jesus into their lives. Now, people say, well, that's harsh. Isn't that rejecting them? I'm saying, no, it's just letting them know that receiving prayer for trauma and getting healed of trauma is part of the benefits of welcoming the work of the cross in their lives. But they've got to have faith in the power of the blood of Jesus to be able to step into that. My faith won't do it for them. How many of you understand what I just said? Would you wave your hand at me? Okay, it's really an important point. Step four, as I welcome the presence of Holy Spirit and the empowering presence of God, I'm going to go after shame, guilt, and condemnation, which are the three main emotions that most people who carry trauma have. So shame says there's something bad about me. That's why this trauma happened to me. Guilt says I must have done something bad. This is why this trauma happened to me. I'm being punished for what I did wrong. Condemnation says, I'm hopeless, I'll never change, I have to live with this for the rest of my days. And yet Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Could I have an agreement in the room, anybody? So therefore, I just, at the bottom of the paragraph, it says, I look them in the eye and I say, I break the power of shame and guilt and condemnation over you. They no longer define you in Jesus' name. Very simple. Step five is where we cancel and sever the assignment of the powers of darkness against them. I asked the Lord, Lord, don't you want to heal their soul first before you want to cancel this assignment? And he said, no, you need to stop the noise that they're listening to before they can receive the full healing. So understand this. If they're a believer, I am not casting out a demon. I'm canceling the assignment of influence that the demon has been lying to them about. How many of you understand that Satan has no authority over us except when we believe his lies? And the spirit of trauma, the spirit of fear, the spirit of torment can come and use the traumatic event as a way to lie to you about who you are and what's possible for you. So in this moment, I look them in the eye and I say, in the name of Jesus, I cancel, I sever every assignment of the powers of darkness against you. I sever the assignment of the spirit of trauma, the spirit of fear, the spirit of torment in Jesus' name. I sever the assignment of the spirit of suicide. And by the way, you notice I don't give you a big list here. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit about what spirits you need to go after. But, you know, there's spirits of addiction. There's spirits of panic and anxiety that are all part of the process. So you're just simply saying, I cancel, I sever every assignment of the powers of darkness against you. And people ask me all the time, well, when you're addressing these demonic spirits, what happens if they start to manifest? Well, this is where me and this person co-labor. And I will say, now once again, Pastor Eddie has no demons. I'm really sure about that. But if I'm ministering to Pastor Eddie and, you know, something begins to kind of manifest itself, I say, Eddie, tell that thing to stop. You can tell it to stop right now. Because, see, he has more power over it than I do. He may have been believing a lie that he doesn't have power over it, but he does. Because how many of you know he has more power and authority over his life than I do? Could I have an agreement in the room, anybody? Now, I can help him. I can tell it to stop. But look, we don't let demons humiliate people. I'm going to step into trouble again. Any ministry that brings people up front or posts videos of people manifesting and getting deliverance and they're being humiliated by the demon because of that manifestation is treating that person as a project and not as somebody who is an object to the love of God. See, that's what demons want to do. When they're coming out, what they want to do is they want to humiliate the person. And that's not the way Jesus does it. Could I have an agreement in the room, anybody? So I'm canceling, I'm severing all the evil assignments. Now, one of the major evil assignments that comes with people who have been sexually violated or abused in any way is, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, is that whenever there's been any kind of sexual contact with another person, there is a one flesh union or a soul tie that connects that person to the person who did that to them. And the problem with this is that you, if you were sexually abused as a child, you can carry that connection through your whole life, even the person dies. Because the very same demons that were on the person who abused you can also torment you. This is how people who have been sexually abused actually become abusers, because they repeat the abuse that happened to them. So the spirits of lust, the spirits of perversion, spirits of pornography, spirits of pedophilia, which is the desire to have sex with children, all of those can come through this one flesh connection. So we sever the soul tie. We sever the one flesh union by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, so that they are no longer connected to this person any longer. And we close the door of access to every demon that they're still dealing with in Jesus' name. So that, therefore, from here on out, you are no longer connected to the person who sexually violated you or abused you in any way in Jesus' name. And as the Lord brings healing to your memories, you're no longer even going to remember those things any longer in Jesus' name. It's a very important point for people who have experienced sexual trauma. And you'll see at the end of point five, first of all, I cancel every assignment of the powers of darkness against you. And then finally, I sever every soul tie that is one flesh union between you and anyone who sexually violated you. Step six, through healing, through declaration prayer, I'm going to lead them in this prayer to heal their wounded soul. So what I'm going to do is have them, look at me, I'm going to have them take their right hand and put it on their chest. Do that right now. And this is what I'm going to have them pray. I'm going to say it and repeat it. Father, heal my wounded soul. Heal my mind. Heal my will. Heal my emotions. And restore your identity back to me, who I really am. In Jesus' name. And then while they have their hands still there, I will say, I'll just declare this over them. I won't ask them to say it. I'll just simply say, shalom. Shalom. Because see, shalom is not just the word for peace, but literally it's the word for wholeness. That is the restoring of shattered things back to their original design in Jesus' name. And when I declare shalom over them, many of them begin to feel heat right here in their chest, because the Spirit of God is putting their pieces of their shattered soul back together again in Jesus' name. Now, when this is still in step six, after we're done praying that prayer, I'm going to have them take their right hand and put it right back here on the back quadrant of their head. Dr. Carolyn Leaf says that neuroscience proves that traumatic images and memories find their location in the right back quadrant of their brain. It's not in your hippocampus, which is at the base of your brain, where most memories are stored, but they're right back here. And so when my friend Abdel was talking about having my hand put up there, and he talked about the memories just kind of just drying up, that's what we're praying for. We're praying for the traumatic memories and images to dry up and die in Jesus' name. And so you can see at the bottom, it says, I command every traumatic image and memory to dry up and die right now in Jesus' name. Now, this is a significant moment, guys, because once these memories and images are no longer there, then there's nothing to trigger you any longer. You don't have to be afraid of being triggered back to flashbacks or nightmares or any kind of memories. And that's what both Adrian as well as Abdel talked about. This is a very significant step in this, that we pray for their memories to be restored. Now, here's the thing I discovered. It's an amazing thing. Once you pray for those traumatic memories and images to just dry up and die, it's like their memory center gets reset, and they can begin to remember good memories about their lives. And here's an exciting thing, their short-term memory skills return. That is, they can begin to remember where they put their keys in their car and their phones. They can begin to remember people's names again. So if you need restoration of your short-term memory skills, we're going to go after that today when we pray in just a few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. Finally, step seven, I'm going to speak healing over the systems of their bodies that have been affected. The nervous system, the lymphatic system, the limbic system, the endocrine system, the muscular system, or the immune system. Here's one thing you must understand. Trauma just doesn't reside in the mind. It resides in the body. And one of the most significant works, we have a bibliography. I don't think we passed out, but we can put it on the back table. On my resource table, I'm going to have a bibliography of a lot of the reference books that I went to look for. And one of those is a work by Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, who is one of the leading experts in trauma. And the name of the book is The Body Keeps Score. And he documents the reality of trauma residing in the body. And so therefore, not only do we need to pray for the mind to be healed of trauma, but we need to pray for the body to be released from trauma. So you see at step seven, I command the muscle memory of every system in the body to release all trauma in the name of Jesus. And once again, I just have them, I go from here to here again with their hand, and that's where I pray that prayer for all trauma to release from the body. So for instance, if you've had a car accident and you still have, even though you've been healed of the injuries from that car accident, but you still have pain from the car accident, that's a trauma memory in your body that the Lord wants to release, heal you of, in Jesus' name. So that's a very significant piece. The other piece of this that's really significant here is that when we command freedom to the mind, body, and spirit, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come and fill every place that trauma has occupied. So while they still have their hands on their chest, I will say to them, repeat after me, I'm going to say it repeated, Holy Spirit, come and fill every area of my life that has been occupied by trauma. Fill me with your love, your joy, your peace, and your power. I reject and I renounce all trauma as having any influence in my life. I choose to believe my identity as a child of God. And then at that point, I will lead them in a declaration of what their identity is. It's at the, on the, if you flip over that page, there is a new creation declaration that's back there that I'm going to lead you in just a couple of minutes. Now, there is also a larger white plastic card back there that is the same new creation declaration that I recommend that people take with them and put it on their mirror at home, that every morning for the next 30 days, you literally look at yourself in the mirror and you make this declaration over yourself for the next 30 days so that you step away from the trauma identity and you step into the fullness of who you really are in Jesus' name. Now, a couple of you have already asked me, well, what do we do about our children? There's one couple here that has been adoptive parents to some children. What do you do with children that obviously have been traumatized? They have nightmares, they have night terrors, they have a lot of fears. What do you do with children under the age of 11? What I recommend is that because children have difficulty of that age to be able to actually verbalize the kind of trauma that they've been through, what we recommend is that you go into their rooms a couple nights a week while they're sleeping and pray this trauma prayer over them. You pray very quietly. But what we've discovered is that while their minds may be asleep, their spirits are still awake, and they get impacted in a significant way. So we see significant reduction in bad behavior, significant reduction in attention deficit disorder, significant reduction in fear, significant reduction in nightmares, and we see children get free all the time from this, and it's just such an amazing thing. So that is the trauma prayer model. Now, I know that we said that we would conclude at 12:30. Can you guys stay for another 30 minutes so I can take questions, and then I'm going to pray for you? Is that all right? Sorry, I've gone a little bit longer than what I intended. Could we have another microphone? Is there another microphone that's available? That's awesome. And could you run the microphone for me? So if you have a question about anything that I talked about this morning, I want to invite you to stand, and this amazing brother is going to bring the microphone. Please don't give your question until he gets to you. So who has a question for me? Stand up if you have a question. One, and then here.
Why does PTSD cause brain pain? Not headaches, but real brain pain.
Well, it's because, why does PTSD cause brain pain? You can sit down, it's okay. Well, once again, it's the cortisol piece. Cortisol causes severe inflammation in every part of the body, and that includes your brain. And so once the cortisol comes down, what pain is inflammation. And so if you think, if it's not a physical injury, like a traumatic brain injury, that can actually be damaged to the tissue of the brain, then it's inflammation that's caused by overload of cortisol. Yes, sir.
How does ADHD play into all of this?
ADHD plays a big thing into this. So, for instance, if you've had early childhood trauma and you were later diagnosed as a child with ADHD, the studies are proving now that the ADHD was actually caused by the trauma that you had as a child. So learning disabilities, whether it be audio processing or video processing difficulties, attention deficit disorder, and even dyslexia can have its roots in childhood trauma. So we've had in our ministry a number of adults who have never been able to read most of their lives. And once they get healed of their trauma, they actually gain the ability to read. That is, their dyslexia gets healed, and they're able to read, which is an amazing thing. We've also seen a lot of attentional disorders healed in both children as well as adults. So you have to understand, trauma is a neurological issue. And if a child is being raised up in a very traumatic environment, it's going to impact their neurological health, which is where you have attention deficit, where you have dyslexia, where you have all the learning disabilities. And once that gets healed, then they don't have it anymore. Yes, ma'am.
Does autism play in that too?
So we're not really sure about the autism piece. We've seen autism healed, but not so much through a trauma prayer, but just through the supernatural power of God. So that's one of, actually, thank you for mentioning that. That's a research project that I want to get into in terms of seeing is there a trauma thing there that's the root of that could be healed. So I don't have an answer for that right now. So
how do you pray for a child who is in a situation where there's ongoing trauma,
yeah.
How do you pray for that?
Well, this is true both for children and adults. Okay, so there's a brother here who is a fire chaplain. So how do you pray for anybody who's in an ongoing trauma situation where they're either living in a home or they're living in a or they're working a job that there's ongoing trauma? Well, first of all, you can still pray for whatever past trauma that they have received to be healed. So you deal with the past first, and then you begin to pray for the characteristic called resilience. Resilience is the ability to bounce back from difficult situations. And so you pray for them to develop a strength of soul through the Word of God, through prayer and intimate connection with God, that when bad things still happen to them, that they know what to do with it, that they don't just stuff it down, that they are given a place that they can talk about what happens to them so that they don't have to live with it. Let me say this to you, everybody. There's a former battalion fire chief who used to be the fire chief over the busiest firefighter station in the country, in Baltimore, Maryland. He had 21 bays in his fire station. But now he's a pastor. He's developed a ministry that when a first responder goes through a specific traumatic event, he will go out to them and help them process what they've been through. And what they're discovering is that if they can get to the first responder and let them talk about what they've been through, that they are less likely to develop PTSD from what they've discovered. So the idea of talking through what you've been through is helpful. I always talk about how many of you know we all have crazy up here? Who's got crazy up here? Anybody? So this is why the church is the greatest organization in the world to deal with people who have trauma. Because if we get into a small group of people that we love and care about us, we can actually lay our crazy out on the table. And that way it won't make us crazy anymore. And when we're in a group that we can actually share honestly about that, we can lay out our crazy on the table, but then the brother across from us can lay his crazy out on the table, and then we realize we're not as crazy as we think you are. Because, man, that's some crazy over there, right? So anyway, go ahead.
When a woman is pregnant and she deals with trauma in her life while being pregnant, does that affect the child?
Yes, it does. And so you can break that off of the child as well. You can break whatever trauma. Because if it affects the mother hormonally and neurologically, then, you know, it's going to affect the child. So you can just break that off that child as well. Yes, ma'am, all the way in the back. He's coming to you right now.
I have children. I lost my children because of addiction.
Mm-hmm.
We all went through a lot of abuse and trauma. And I have one daughter that's not talking to me again. Mm-hmm. The other daughter talks to me sometimes, but she sometimes brings up what happened and mm-hmm. kind of throws it in my face. And even though I try to block it and I handle it well in the moment, as soon as we're done off the call, I immediately start beating myself up.
Yeah.
And feeling all that guilt and shame.
Okay.
And it's just really created a stronghold, and I'm torn between, do I reach out to my kids or do I just let them be? Like, I'm trying to deal with this, but, you know, I'm still struggling with it myself.
Okay.
So it's hard.
So do you love Jesus?
I do, very much.
And you welcome the work of the cross in your
yes.
life. So therefore, do you know that all that's completely forgiven?
Yes.
It's under the blood of Jesus Christ. So it's as if you never sinned.
Right,
right now,
I know
that's
that,
where,
but
I don't
feel that way.
I want to talk about you for just a minute,
okay?
So there are people in our history, in our family, that can bring up bad things that we've done. And all we can do is ask for their forgiveness and tell them we're sorry that this happened. But at that point, you beating yourself up anymore does no good to anybody except the devil. So when they bring it up, You can continue to ask for forgiveness, but you do not have to allow that to become your identity, because the woman that was addicted is no longer who you are. And then say, I pray that to your daughters, you say, I pray that one day we can come to a place that you will forgive me and release me and that we can have a relationship again. But you can't force that. You just, what I say is, you just need to keep pouring out love to them. How much you love them as the person you are now. Not the person I was then. You were incapable of giving them the kind of love they needed. But as the person you are now, there can be healing. So, but I want to encourage you, sister, don't listen to shame and guilt and condemnation. Don't beat yourself up anymore. Just know that that's in the past, and there's freedom for you, and there will be freedom for your children, in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen.
How do you know if chronic pain and inflammation is trauma, or if it's just old age and wear and tear?
Well, that's good. I honestly think God can even heal things of wear and tear sometimes. And we've seen it happen. Those are injuries, right? Those are injuries. So, you know, I ask the Holy Spirit. I always say this. People ask me all the time, well, I don't know if it's trauma or whatever it is. Ask the Holy Spirit. He'll show you. You know, I don't try to diagnose people. I don't try to find out where their root or the root cause is. We just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, where did this come from? So anyway, I would say this. Most of the chronic nerve pain and fibromyalgia that I deal with is super tormenting. It's not just the wear and tear of, you know, joints getting old. It's not that. It's really super tormenting, and that's when I know that I'm really going to go after trauma. So anyway, good question, though. Yes, sir.
Along with PTSD, I've been diagnosed with the TBI, too.
Mm-hmm.
Is TBI and PTSD entangled to one another? And
they are.
And if so, how does that heal differently from the PTSD?
So when I work with people who have TBIs and at the same point have been through PTSD, a TBI is actually an injury to the tissues of the brain. And so just like any other organ, the heart, the kidneys, if God can heal those organs, he can also heal the brain. So when I'm praying for somebody with trauma and they have physical trauma, TBI, I have them put their hand on where that place is in their brain that they know the TBI happened, and we pray for the Holy Spirit to bring healing and reconnect the things that have been disconnected through the TBI and get set free. And we see a lot of people, I deal with this, a lot of athletes who've been and I realize their concussion is nothing like a TBI done in battle. But we've seen a lot of healing of concussions because of that damage. Anyway, so you pray for the brain literally to be healed, and then you go after the trauma. Is that helpful? Yep. Yes, ma'am.
I have a wonderful mom, but I'm 64 and she's 84. And she will still respond to me in a very harsh, sharp tone of voice if something gets triggered with her.
Yep.
And I have these pains that shoot through my chest for hours. And I've forgiven her. I've broken an emotional soul tie. I mean, she's an awesome woman of God. And then if somebody else in the family, they're just having a bad day and they're tired and they have kind of a sharp tone of voice, I will have waves of that pain shooting through my heart for like an hour or two.
Okay.
When I know they love me deeply and didn't mean anything by it.
So you have a wound that gets connected by the tone of voice. And the lie that you believe is that their sharp tone of voice tells you that they're angry or mad at you or they hate you. And so what you do is you get with the Holy Spirit and ask him to show you what the source of that wound is and ask for healing so that you can raise up your shield of faith every time your mother gives you a sharp tone and you don't take it personally anymore. You just say, oh, that's her. That's not. See, when you come to the place where you can say, that's her, that's not me, then that's... Well, so ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, show me the source of that pain and bring healing to that wound. Yes, ma'am.
If you adopt and raise children that came out of great trauma, can that be transferred to you?
There is such a thing as secondary trauma. So, for instance, with practitioners, therapists, counselors, chaplains, you can actually receive secondary trauma by listening to other people's trauma. So you can pray for that to come off of you in Jesus' name. So, yeah, there is such a thing as secondary trauma. Just listening, let me put it this way. Don't think of trauma as some kind of a spiritual dynamic where it was on them and it can land on you. Most of that trauma comes from listening to people's stories. And that's where secondary trauma comes from. One of the things people ask me all the time, they say, well, how do you do what you do and still sleep at night? I said, well, I have a good mattress on my bed. But secondly, even when I'm traveling, every night I roll everything that I've experienced over to Jesus because I'm not supposed to carry anybody's trauma. I mean, my own children have experienced levels of trauma, and I love them, I'm for them, but I don't have to carry their trauma either. And I roll all that to Jesus every night, and I sleep really great. There's a lady back here. Let's take about two more questions, then we're going to pray.
You gave us kind of how to deal with children who have experienced trauma. How would it be different with a teenager?
Well, I would deal with the teenager. They have to know that they have trauma, number one. Number two, they have to be willing to receive prayer. You cannot go to somebody and say, you have trauma, I'm going to pray for you. It doesn't work that way.
This person knows they have trauma.
Okay, well, then just say. So what you do is you say, you know what, I went to the seminar, this guy talked about trauma, heck, and you can be healed from it. I got trained how to pray. Would you like to have some prayer? All I can say is yes or no. But as a teenager, they ought to be able to verbalize what happened.
Okay.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Two more. There's two ladies here, and then it's – well, I'll do – all right. Since you've been up front up here the whole time, I'll do three more, and then we're done. Okay? Yep.
Oh, this is quick. So do you see any connection between seizures in children and what you've been teaching us about, specifically febrile seizures that tend to disappear with – as a child gets older?
So, yeah, there can, once again, we're talking neurologically now. So seizures are a neurological event. And if there's been severe, particularly violent trauma, I'm just saying, if there's been violent trauma to this child, that can be the root of seizures. But I don't say all seizures are the result of trauma. Yes, ma'am.
Not a question. Actually, I wanted to answer about the second generation
trauma.
I've worked with Holocaust survivors and with Khmer Rouge survivors, and often as not, their children have multiple illnesses that the parents don't have because there's something in the parents that makes them survive, but the trauma goes to their kids. And in Israel, there are many Holocaust survivors who have buried their children with cancers and all kinds of weird illness addictions. The parents don't have it because there's something in them that made them survive. But there is research that it can be passed on to the
second
generation.
I will talk about that in just a minute after this last question, and then I'm going to pray.
Okay, so there's the trauma wall.
Yep.
And I've heard that referred to as a heart wall, which is to protect us so that we can't be out. So is it important to look for the first traumatic experience, that being oftentimes as a young child, is it more beneficial to look for that as that's what everything builds on, or is it what that individual may feel is most painful in that moment, and to get relief and forgiveness and freedom from that trauma, then that thread begins to tear apart the whole trauma wall.
So I never go looking for trauma. I don't go looking for what's the most significant trauma. I ask the person, what's the most significant trauma that you're dealing with? Now, Jesus knows what is really happening. And many times in the prayer, we'll go after other traumas as well. But I always go for what the person is presenting. The reason why I don't go looking for trauma is because I've had enough studies in trauma studies to know that many times memories are not a good indicator of what actually really happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to go after what they present to me.
Okay. I also had something tied in with her, and that is, can you help to relieve ancestral trauma?
Okay.
That's where
I'll go for my last statement. So there is such a thing. And thank you. By the way, give it up for this brother. Thank you. He did a great job. There is such a thing as generational trauma. And generational trauma, I can't get into all the details, but basically your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents went through very traumatic events. And there is research, Dr. Peter Levine, in his book Trauma and Memory, has a chapter of the scientific research that shows how trauma can be passed down through the DNA and what's known as the cellular memory, so that you can be somebody who you believe you've never had any trauma in your life, but yet you still have all the symptoms. Well, that's probably a generational trauma. And so when we're praying for somebody like that, when we get to the place of praying for the body, we always go after the cellular memory and the DNA. And we command the DNA to be rewritten away from trauma, and for all trauma to leave the DNA, and for the cellular memory to be completely cleansed in Jesus' name. And we've seen, I was invited a few years ago to go out to the Navajo Nation. I was invited by the president and the vice president, who were spirit-filled believers, and I did a three-day seminar with them, with all of their native pastors and with their executive council. And one of the things is not only the current trauma that they're dealing with, but obviously the generational trauma. And we saw so much healing, physical healing and emotional healing and freedom come when we went after this in it's interesting, in the executive council of the Navajo Nation. They got so free. God just brought such complete healing to them. And it was a glorious moment. So many times if they can't remember what a trauma is, but yet they have all the symptoms, that's where I would pray for the DNA to be rewritten and for the cellular memory to be cleansed in Jesus' name. Okay, everybody put your notes down. Smile at me because the best is yet to come. Thank you for your patience with me. I know many of you only committed to 3 hours here, and I'm going a little bit over, so I appreciate you willing to stick around a little bit longer so I can pray for you. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand right here, and if you're seated in a place that you can't see my eyes, I want you to move because I'm not going to move for you. So if you need to move so you can see me, just get up and do that right now if you would. I'm going to be rotating as best. I'd love to move everybody into the center, but I would probably be like herding cats at this point. So I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to be rotating so I can look at you guys, okay? Now, there's one last thing before I pray that I want to say to you. It's very important. When you pray for people with trauma, many times the people that you pray for will not feel anything. And the lie will come to them. Yeah, if anybody wants to come to the front, you can come to the front. You want to come to the front or gather in the middle, that'd be great. But you may get the lie, well, that nothing happened. Well, for most people who have trauma, unhealed trauma, they don't begin to experience the fullness of their healing until a week or two later. Like with Joseph in his testimony, he didn't realize how healed he'd gotten until the people around him begin to say how different he was. So one of the things, if you're going to be in trauma healing ministry, you just have to remember is don't allow your faith to be affected by the fact that they may not feel anything. Because we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ is effective, and that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Could I have an agreement in the room, anybody? So don't, you know, if I'm just going to say this. Many of you are going to receive healing today in a significant way. Some of you may not feel that healing fully until days or even weeks later. But the Spirit of God is here right now. And we're just going to invite him right now to come and manifest his healing power in Jesus' name. So I have interviewed you and asked about your trauma. And now I'm going to ask you, if you'll give me permission to pray for you, I want to ask you to give me your permission by saying yes. So 1, 2, 3. Good. So by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, I declare that you are completely forgiven by God. There is nothing between you and the Father because you've welcomed the work of Jesus Christ into your life. Because you have been forgiven, I want to invite you now to get free of all the trauma that people have done to you by asking the Holy Spirit to show you people who you still need to forgive and release. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. The Holy Spirit's going to show you people that you need to forgive. And when you see the face or the name, just say in your mind, Father, I forgive them, you forgive them, I release them. Now we're going to take a couple of minutes to do this, folks. So I'm going to be quiet and let you do business with God. When you have forgiven as best as you know how, just open your eyes. So that I know that you're done. Father, I forgive them. You forgive them. I release them. When you're done with all that the Holy Spirit has shown you, you don't have to go digging. Just, if you're done, you can open your eyes. I'm going to give you about another minute. Okay, I'm going to invite you to open your eyes, even if you're not done. You may want to continue some business with the Lord when you get out of here today. There's one other person that I'm going to invite you to forgive, and that's you. It's important that you forgive you and release you from all of your judgments. So say this with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you have forgiven me. I forgive me. I release me of all of my self-judgments. And thank you for your forgiveness. So I'm going to keep praying for you. In the name of Jesus, I break all shame, all guilt and condemnation over you in the name of Jesus. You have nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing for you to carry any guilt because you're forgiven. And the Word of God says there is therefore now no condemnation because you are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death in Jesus' name. And in the name of Jesus, I cancel and I sever from you every work of the powers of darkness that is sought to keep you captive to your trauma. In Jesus' name, I sever the works of the spirit of trauma, the works of the spirit of fear, the works of the spirit of torment, and the works of the spirit of depression and anxiety in the name of Jesus. I sever and I cancel the works of the spirit of suicide, rage, and murder in Jesus' name. I sever and I cancel the assignments of the spirit of addictions and the spirit of hopelessness in the name of Jesus. I also break off of a number of the young people in this room the spirit of self-hatred that keeps you hating yourself, keeps you from loving the person on the other side of the mirror, and tempts you to actually do self-harm to yourself. I sever the assignment of the spirit of hatred, self-hatred, in the name of Jesus. Now take your right hand and put it on your chest. And I'm going to say it, you repeat it. Father, in Jesus' name, heal my wounded soul. Heal my mind. Heal my will. Heal my emotions. And restore my identity back to your original dream for me. And just take a deep breath. Shalom. 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 The Lord is bringing the power of shalom to your shattered soul. And bring healing and freedom and putting the pieces back together. So that you're no longer in pieces, but you're walking in wholeness in the name of Jesus. Now take your right hand and bring it right up here. I'm going to pray this over you. You're not going to join me in prayer for this. In the name of Jesus, I command every traumatic image and memory that still haunts you to dry up and die right now in the name of Jesus. I cancel and I sever the neural pathways that lead to these traumatic images and memories. And I sever your five senses, your seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, and hearing from being triggers to these memories so that you no longer have to be afraid of being triggered in any way, shape, or form in the name of Jesus. I speak to your memory center and I say, wake up, wake up, wake up. Let there come a free flow of memory. I speak to your short-term memory skill to be restored to you in Jesus' name. And I speak right now for the memories, the good memories of your life to return to you, that they be restored to you, that the good memories return and you can rejoice in them and remember the goodness of the Lord in the name of Jesus. I command every traumatic brain injury, every concussion or every injury to the brain tissue itself to be healed in Jesus' name. I command the brain pain, I command it to go, the affliction of brain pain, to go now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I speak right now to any attentional disorders, any dyslexia, or any problems that were created in childhood because of trauma. And in the name of Jesus, I speak healing and restoration of those skills that God put within your brain in the first place. I command neurons and synapses to be reconnected in Jesus' name, and for there to be proper working of the brain in memory and skills in Jesus' name. Freedom. Freedom. Some of you have had a claw in your brain for years, and I command freedom. Let that claw be removed right now in Jesus' name. I also speak to those of you that suffer with migraines. And in the name of Jesus, I command the covering around your brain to be healed of all inflammation, and for the assignment of migraine to cease from you, that you will no longer be incapacitated by migraines any longer in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now put your hand right back here again. In the name of Jesus, I speak right now healing to every part of your body that's carried trauma. Every system of your body that has carried trauma, skeletomuscular, nervous system, reproductive system, endocrine system that has carried trauma in any way, shape, or form, I command that trauma to be released from your body. In the name of Jesus, I speak to your muscle memory that still carries the memory of the trauma of injuries, of surgeries, or of abuse. And in the name of Jesus, I command those muscle memory to release trauma now in Jesus' name. All trauma be released from every system of your body in the name of Jesus. And I declare freedom. Freedom from pain. Freedom from trauma memory. And freedom to no longer be in any way, shape, or form affected by the past trauma. There's somebody that you continue to have trauma from surgeries. And in Jesus' name, I command all that trauma to leave your muscle memory right now in the name of Jesus. I also sever from everyone here that has been sexually assaulted or sexually abused in any way. I command in the name of Jesus for every soul tie and one flesh union between you and any other person that sexually abused you or assaulted you or used you in any way, I sever those soul ties right now in Jesus' name. You're no longer connected to that person any longer. That whether they're alive or dead, it doesn't make any difference. You're no longer connected to them. And I close the door of access to the spirits of lust, perversion, pornography, and pedophilia in Jesus' name. And I close the door of access so that you will no longer be tormented by those demons any longer, but that you will be completely free in the name of Jesus, I pray. Give thanks to God. Just thank him, just very quietly. Just thank him right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. This Holy Spirit is releasing your body from trauma. We just declare shalom over your whole body in Jesus' name, that you're going to operate with less pain and less restriction from this moment on in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I also speak to your sleep center. And in the name of Jesus, those of you that have not been able to sleep, I declare Proverbs 3:24 over you that says, because you walk in covenant with God, you shall no longer lie down in fear, but it's your Father's inheritance to you to give you sweet sleep. So beginning tonight, you'll begin to receive 6 to 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep with no nightmares, no night terrors, and no more flashbacks in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, you pray this prayer with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to fill every area of my life that has been occupied by trauma. Fill me with your love, your joy, your peace, and your power. I renounce and I reject trauma as the narrative of my life. I choose to walk in the blessings of being a beloved child of God. Now fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me with your love. Now everybody stand up. And this is our declaration of who we are in Jesus. I'm going to say it, you repeat it. I am a new creation in Christ. Oh, you can get more excited than that. Let's try it again. I am a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. All things have become new. I am in Jesus. Jesus is in me. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I am loved. I'm accepted. I'm forgiven. I'm adopted into God's family. I am a royal child of an amazing King. I declare that I am blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. In Jesus' name, all things work together for my good because I love God and I'm called according to his purpose. And his purpose for me is to look more and more like Jesus every day. In Jesus' name, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. Therefore, my perspective is not earth to heaven, but heaven to earth. I live with the constant expectation that God's greatest miracles are yet ahead of me. In Jesus' name, everywhere I go, the power of God goes. Everywhere I go, angels go with me. Everywhere I go, I bring the love of the Father. Thank you, Father, that I am no longer defined by my history. What I have done, what's been done to me, by what I've witnessed, or by my family. I am defined by who you call me, Father. I am your beloved child in whom you are well pleased right now. Somebody give thanks to God, will you? Now, just stretch out your hands to me. Father, in Jesus' name, whatever grace, gifting, anointing that I have received to bring healing to trauma, to all those that have been part of this seminar today, I pray a fresh prayer of impartation that they would know how to give away what they've been given today. That there would be a multiplication in this region of an army of heart healers and chain breakers that would go forth in Jesus' name and break the power of trauma off of people's lives. And let the fire of God come and fill every person in this room right now. Let the fire of God come and fill every person in this room with faith, with compassion, and with an understanding of the authority you carry now to break every lie of the spirit of trauma and set people free. In the name of Jesus, I declare it. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, everybody. Pastor, will you come?
Yeah, let's give the Lord some praise. Amen. I have been blessed. Amen. We have been blessed. Before you go, one more time, please pray about how you can bless Dr. Mike and the ministry the Lord's given him financially. You see the black boxes on the walls. You can use the envelopes and just put special offering on those. And as soon as we're dismissed, do that. Do that, okay? And there's envelopes by the boxes. Yes. Yes, and there's also, if you want to drop it in the basket, we've got a basket up here. Are there baskets at the doors? Okay, baskets at all the doors. Forget the boxes. Put it in the basket, or unless you need an envelope. We'll find it, okay? But put special offering and make it out to Grace House And if they're going to put back on the screen, if you will. We'll just leave that up there a little bit. If you want to text to give or give online using your debit card and so forth, all there is the information. Tonight at the McKissick Farm, and that's what time, Mark Melody? There's a meal at 5:30, and it begins at 6:30. And Mark and Melody, raise your hand over there if you need instructions. You can get with them. Tomorrow morning at Grace House, Dr. Mike will be ministering. We've been advertising the 10 a.m. service, and I told him we have an early service, but it's not very large. He wants to come to that. He's going to be ministering both services. So we're going to be double blessed. That is the 8:30 to 9:30, the early services. And then our regular service, our bigger service starts at 10 a.m. And we know you may be involved in other churches. God bless you. May you carry what you've received today and be a blessing where you attend. If you're close by, you might could come to our early service and then go. So we invite you to do that. And I am so grateful that we have so many of you from across the region. That just so blesses us that you came and received today. And we just speak God's blessings over you. Amen. Don't forget the resources out in the comments area. And Dr. Mike, would you stand? We just want to bless you and Nathaniel. We appreciate Nathaniel for being with you. God bless you. Stretch your hands toward this man of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and I want you to say this with me. We bless you, Dr. Mike, our dear brother. In the name of Jesus, we speak and declare shalom in Jesus' name. Now let's go forth and live out this freedom. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless you.